There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
To introduce you to a gal named Erica. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, MyTalk 1071, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And I really, it's really a story about Erica and Josh and the person who posted the story on Reddit.
Okay? All right, so who's an Erica and who's a Josh?
Okay, so I'm gonna walk you through this. I'm probably going to give you the Cliff's Notes, but I'm going to give you the most important points, okay? Starts out with the original poster.
Okay.
She's a 20-year-old female. She lives with Erica, who's 27. And Erica is usually nice and cleans up her after herself and all that stuff, but there's an issue. The original poster is dating a guy named Josh. Josh is 21 and he's a male.
Mm-hmm.
She has been seeing him. He's come over a few times. She said about a week ago when he came over, when he arrived, Erica was cooking curry in the kitchen. The poster says, Josh and I went up to my room almost right away and he sort of awkwardly said he hates the smell of curry.
Okay.
And he can't really be around it because it makes him want to barf.
Okay.
So he left.
Okay.
Then another time when Josh came over to sleep over, Erica was blowing her nose an ungodly number of times in the morning, and he could hear it because her room shares a wall with the bathroom, and it grossed him out.
Okay.
So he left. Another time he heard her fart super loud when he went to the bathroom late at night.
Okay.
So as a result, he thinks she's super gross and he can barely stand to be at the house. They've had conversations about getting serious, but he said the Erica thing is the thing that's holding him back.
Okay.
All right. Then this morning, the morning of her posting, she said Josh came over and Erica was hard boiling eggs.
No. Okay.
No. Bradley?
Come on now.
And it smelled. And so
he left.
So the original poster says, I confronted Erica about trying to be a little less loud, cook less smelly food.
Okay. No.
Okay, Bradley, are you with me on this?
This, one of two things. This is just lies. Or two, this woman needs to leave this roommate situation because she has failed to understand what the roommate situation is, which is you are sharing your space with someone else. And that means you have to deal with the fact that someone else lives in your space.
Yeah.
Which means they are going to cook eggs, occasionally going to fart, and probably make curry.
And they're going to blow their nose. I mean,
yeah, there's nothing. Like, who are the people that are being defensive of Josh?
So that's the interesting piece. Okay, so next, what happens? And by the way, what I'm sharing with you is trending right now on Twitter, hashtag Erica, and that's Erica.
So I'm assuming you also are on team fart and
I'm on team Erica this. So here's what happened. Okay. So the original poster is like, okay, so I confronted Erica and I was like, hey, can you not like cook your smelly food and like fart and stuff? Because it makes Josh really uncomfortable, and then he has to drive back to his house, which is 25 minutes away. Now, Erica, the original poster says, who's normally calm and polite. I've never seen her mad. Even when I accidentally ruined some of her expensive kitchen stuff, she didn't even ask me to pay for it because, quote, accidents happen. She got really angry and said she wasn't going to adjust her whole life for random people I'm sleeping with. Now, then she said, like, she was really hurt by that, the original poster, because it's not like I'm sleeping with different strangers all the time. But she said, Josh, the original poster said, Josh is just kind of generally disgusted with her, like the nose blowing sounds.
And, too bad.
Okay.
Go to Josh's place.
Now, what is interesting is Erica said, the reason he isn't committing to you has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
It's because you're gullible enough to believe him when he feeds you crap like that.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm not changing my life or magically stopping my bodily functions because of someone who said not said more than
thank
two.
You.
Right?
Well, even if you didn't agree with that, like, there is a moment where nobody is wrong in this situation.
Okay, say more about that.
Like, ultimately, these are two adults. If we talk about the roommates here,
right?
These are two adults having having lives, mm-hmm. and if those lives become incompatible, then you go your separate ways.
Right.
I don't think. I mean, I identify in the story as you've told it with the one who farts and boils eggs, because that's just
and cooks smelly food,
and that's just reasonable,
right?
Like, you probably knew that if they don't bother you. What does it say about the people you choose to be around that it bothers them?
Right.
Right? Like, maybe. So, but again, that's really, like, that's my opinion of her relationship, which is none of my business because she's an adult. So that's why I say at a certain point, both of them are right. And the solution is, like, do you value this roommate situation more than your sleepover situation? Mm-hmm. And if you value your sleepover situation more, it's not to say you're wrong. Or that your roommate is on the wrong end of the thing. It's just to say, maybe you need to go get a place with Josh.
Right.
Right?
And then I think what will happen is the following. If you, original poster,
yeah,
go to Josh and say, listen, Erica and I are splitting up. Like, she's out of here. Why don't you move in?
He's like, yeah, I don't know, because the way you sleep at night really bugs me.
Yeah, Josh's true colors will shine bright
who's
like
gonna
a
be
diamond.
Like, I'm just going to say, if I, and this is where the judgment comes in, if I was dating somebody who left an apartment, who left me because of my roommate's dinner,
yeah,
I'd say, I don't want to be around you because that means
be
you're not good in a
you.
Crisis,
yeah, that
much
means
less
you,
curry.
That means you can't put up with things that make you feel slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, what are you, 12?
Right.
That you like, I can't smell a curry because it makes me want to barf. That's like when people say dumb things like that. Like, that's, what are you, 12?
Right.
You just, like, you don't like the smell? I mean, now people are going to send emails and they're going to say, well, actually, I have an allergic reaction to that smell. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody whose preference forces them to alter their relationship with people, right? Like, that says more about you than it does about this poor woman who's just trying to make a curry because she's alone in her own apartment.
And she wants to eat curry. Let the woman eat her curry. We did get a tweet from our friend Panda, who said, I'm Team Erica. Or as I would write to the original poster in Reddit, YTA. You are the, not Erica. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page because I was, as you were describing this, I was like, I hope we're going in this direction.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I kind of knew where you would fall on the scale. But
because of my stinky food
habits?
No,
just because I know you and I know how you, I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound, I don't know. To me, the easiest answer lies in the very first things I said, which are the original poster is a 20-year-old female. And Erica is a 27-year-old female. And I know that this sounds like ageist, but the 27-year-old female sees through the B to the S.
It's experientialist.
Yes.
Because you would imagine that Erica has been, as we all have, through more experiences by the time we get to 27
right.
than we are when we're 20. And when you're 20, I very much remember the mindset of my way or the highway, and like, how dare you come, like, how dare you offend my man,
right.
or like, how dare you offend, like, yeah, you're just not seeing the whole picture, you're only seeing your horniness.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will say I'm not seeing a lot of people who are on the side of the original.
Well, I was going to ask, what did the responses seem like?
So first of all, this is posted on a Reddit thread that is called AITA.
Oh, are you the?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Am I the? Mm-hmm. And so people weigh in on
dudes.
That.
I always got the impression with this, like this meme, that it was sort of dudes who were like, and if you have to ask, then you are.
Then you are. Well, yeah. So that's the thing that's really interesting about it, right? Is that that's exactly what's going on here. The person who posts this, if you have to say, am I being a bloop, then the answer is, yeah, mm-hmm.
Probably.
You sure are.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that is, I just love like when you offer yourself up to the wolves, how that turns out.
Yeah. Well, but again, maybe she'll be like, whoa, I guess I didn't think about it that way. Josh, get the heck out of here.
Right.
Or like, if you don't want me with a hint of curry, then right. I don't want you.
Thank you.
Like, I want a man who can have me and curry.
Yeah. Not Anne Curry.
Not Anne Curry. No. Although she deserves happiness, too.
True.
She's
been through a lot. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, Kimye Part 2. Kimye Part 2. After this on My Talk 107.1. We got more Kim and Kanye news on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. All aboard. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Hi. Anywhoozy whatsy, Kim and Kanye, I don't know if you've heard, are getting a divorce.
It's true. And I can hear all the people out there going,
I don't care.
Yeah, right?
Look, care. We feel you. We are totally with you most days.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This actually is a fascinating story because it tells us about how the sausage in Hollywood is really made. Mm-hmm. So that's why Colleen and I are going to beat you over the head with some Kim and Kanye.
And if their names bother you, if like you feel like you can't anymore with hearing about them, just change their names in your head.
Yeah.
It's about like Sandy and Joe.
Sandy
and Joe.
We call them Sanjo.
Yeah, they're getting a divorce.
But back to Kimye, in case you just joined us and are like, mm-hmm. I don't know who they're talking about. So we're talking about Kim and Kanye's divorce. But we have some leftovers. I read this article. There's a guy he's like a pop culture-y kind of celebrity. Like, he watches a lot of shows. Basically does
he's
what
like
we
us.
Do.
He's
he
like,
does what we yeah, do. And he wrote this think piece for NBC News, which, I got issues. But the story is Kim and Kanye's divorce may have a silver lining for one of them. Mm-hmm. And then we're treated to the story about how Kim is really just in her own now. And now is a chance for her to, like, break free from the clutches of Kanye and be her own woman. And this is really a chance for her to kind of just like, who is she going to be? Who is the woman that Kim Kardashian is going to be? In fact, subline. News. Who is Kim Kardashian minus the West? The answer is going to be fascinating. And perhaps
I have so many issues with this.
And perhaps
generally
even inspiring.
No. Okay.
First of all, are you drunk?
Can I go down a really quick side road and we will get right back on the main drag? This is the most sexist BS.
Oh, tell me more about this.
Who is Kim Kardashian minus her husband? What?
Yes.
Who is she going to be now that she's getting divorced? Who will Kim Kardashian... Probably the same... multi-millionaire she was before. Okay.
So you're defending Kim Kardashian suddenly.
Highly,
no, your point is valid.
I don't know why.
Your point is valid, but so the thrust of this particular story is to say, you know, she was under the thumb of her mother, then she was under the thumb of Kanye West.
She's still under the thumb of her mother. Go on.
Well, and then there's a point at which, because like most people, you'd say, well, isn't she still under the thumb of her mother? Where it's like, and you know, now she's not under the thumb of Kanye or maybe her mom, who knows? It's like, well, no, actually we do know and she is, and that's fine. But also that's sexist. Like, she can just be a flawed human without being, you know, manipulated by other people. That doesn't mean that her mother doesn't have her own motives, right? Her mother has, Kris Jenner has motives to, you know, try to make as much money. I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel. Money off of everything that's,
her,
you know,
that came out of her.
That exactly. Whether that's doo-doo or her actual children.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the piece is really, I was bummed because I thought, okay, I'm curious to see what this person has to say. And I came away just feeling like, I don't think you really gave us much to think about. Certainly, I'm curious to see who Kim portrays herself in tabloids after this situation.
Well, I mean, that's the only place we see her portrayed.
Yeah. Right? Like, the only thing, and this is the mistake, and this is what I kept thinking when I was reading this piece, is that the only thing we're really talking about is not who Kim Kardashian is, it's who the media portrays her to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly could be of interest, right? Like, what does the media make of a Kim Kardashian without Kanye West? What does the media make of Kim Kardashian without the clutches of Kris Jenner, the talons of Kris Jenner inside her, but I kind of feel like those talons are still there. But like that would be, to me, an interesting frame. Like, how does the world react to Kim Kardashian without Kanye West? It's not to say that anything we know about Kris or Kim Kardashian, because he talks about how she, like, you know, she really was just trying to make a go of it on her own as a lawyer, and she's trying to do like all these things and be taken seriously. And now maybe she can really just spread her wings and fly. And I'm like, have you been, are you drunk? Like drunk on the tabloids? Because just because the tabloids have painted a picture of her, that is not who she is.
Well, and the picture they painted was a paint by number.
Yeah.
That Kris Jenner designed.
Which you would probably do on your own time.
Thank you.
You like those paint by numbers.
Thank you. True. I don't know. I don't, I'm real whipped up about this because well, first of all, I think he missed the mark entirely. I think you're absolutely right. That he's not focusing on the right thing.
Yeah.
But lest you think she's not still, meaning Kim, under the thumb of Kris Jenner, Kris Jenner is orchestrating this entire separation.
Well, evidenced by that
conspiracy theory
that we shared at the top of the show.
Exactly. And I do, I just want people, and I said this a little bit earlier, but I want everybody to just tap the brakes on this when you see news about the separation of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, and you see the headlines that tell you how Kanye's doing and how Kim is doing and what the kind of terms of the divorce are and how very easy the prenup is going and blah, blah, blah. All of that is coming from Kim, from
Chris.
And even this, okay, so I'm going through my Google News feed entertainment. I do that, just, you know, click on the entertainment, and then everything I want is right there. And this is the headline that shows up from People Magazine, which, what do we know about People Magazine?
Nothing is real and everyone smokes, and they are definitely connected to the area of Kris Jenner that emits or excretes this kind of information.
Exactly. Kim Kardashian listens to Olivia Rodrigo's breakup anthem after filing for divorce from Kanye West. And it is a Instagram story of her listening to the Olivia Rodrigo song that is incredibly popular. And it is called Driver's License. And I'm like, every single headline you read, every single story you read is going to tell you the story of Kim and Kanye's divorce from Kim's perspective.
Yeah, especially if you're reading it in a major tabloid, it's coming. That's the story they want you to think about her. It's not the real story. And stop acting like this is real news.
And even if you see a headline that says Kanye's name, it is still coming from the Kardashians.
Yeah.
be vigilant, people. Be vigilant. Mm-hmm. Know what you're reading. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, celebrities behaving badly.
Demons!
After this on My Talk 107.1. Celebrities behaving badly. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom.
And I am Bradley Trainer.
And these are your celebrities behaving badly. We call them
XB.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Is your D-bag?
Your best friend.
Which one?
Orianne Sievey. Okay. Phil Collins' ex.
Okay.
Not you guys are real buddy-buddy.
Nope, not really.
So she's in the headlines, but you'd like to get all buddy-buddy with Mr. Collins.
Okay, no, I need to, again, I you don't. You want to
make some sweet love.
Stop it. I don't feel sexual feelings for him like I do for Tom Jones.
So
I just like his music.
What's the attraction?
I like his music.
Oh, okay. It's purely platonic.
It's just music.
Okay.
He is a musical genius. I like all of his
So music. His ex-wife, you'll remember, Orianne Sievey, well, she is kind of a hot mess, right?
She's like, a super mess.
She was a squatter. She was, like, stealing his stuff and then, like, auctioning it off,
yep.
Allegedly, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Well, she's in the headlines again, and apparently she's a mess. So the headline exclusive over at Page Six, it says, Phil Collins' ex, Orianne Sievey, and her new husband check out a yacht in Miami. And I was like, okay, well, why is that a story? Right? Like, so they checked out a yacht.
Yeah.
I mean, they have money, because remember, she made all that money off that auction.
Yep.
Which included, but was not limited to, like, pieces of paper she found in the house with him.
And, like, a belt.
Yeah. So, apparently she was causing a scene with her new husband, Thomas Bates.
Oh, dear.
In Miami over the weekend, Mr. Bates and Orianne were spotted at a restaurant in a club called Seaside. And apparently, someone who was spying for Page Six.
Nice.
I would imagine that's just like.
I want that job.
A person who calls Page Six and says, I saw that they were not on their best behavior. In fact, Ms. Sievey was allegedly making staffers hurriedly run around and refill her free champagne as they checked out the Sunreef Yacht's 40-foot Power Diamond limited edition yacht that was docked there. So they were admiring this yacht while they were at the club, and she was yelling at staff, bring me more champagne!
Oh my gosh.
They're very rude and snooty to the staff.
I'm not surprised.
She yelled at the staff for not having her champagne soon enough and was such a diva, quote-unquote. Bates just stood there looking cocky.
Okay, does any of this surprise you? A woman who literally won't leave the house of the man she... a woman who has the cojones to invite her new husband to live in her ex-husband's mansion and then won't leave when asked.
Mm-hmm.
Does it surprise you at all that she thinks everybody works for her?
Not at all. And my favorite part of this entire experience is that somehow Page Six hooked up with a friend of hers.
Nice.
Who told Page Six that they're not on the market for a yacht, and she would never yell at people like that. Quote, get this. She comes from Switzerland, where they're classy. She does not yell at staff. She's not that person.
Oh, wow.
They were looking at a friend's yacht, not shopping. There were two bottles of champagne, and it was very limited service for an overly large group. She was a little parched in the Florida heat, but she did not yell at some waiter. Which is exactly
the
kind of friend the pal is.
Orianne Sievey.
Yeah, I was going to say the pal is physician, heal thyself. Mm-hmm. No, but you know that's a friend. Like, that's a friend, right? The friend's like, no. No.
No, she never.
She comes from Switzerland where they're classy. There's
class in
Switzerland. Yeah, nobody from Switzerland has ever raised their voice or asked impertinently to have extra champagne.
Oh, okay. She's a person. She's a thing.
Well, you know, she is a thing, and thanks to Phil Collins, she's a thing with money.
Yeah.
God. All right.
Do you want to know who my D-bag is?
Of course.
Priyanka Chopra Jonas.
Oh, good. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And listen, I, I always feel like I want to like issue a quick disclaimer on this, because especially on this story, because she's talking about the death of her father. He died in 2013.
Yeah.
He'd had a long battle with cancer. He was 64 years old when he died. I want to say some quick things about that. I am sorry for that loss. I truly am. That is a very painful and difficult loss. And it was very obviously very painful and difficult for her. And this story is not about her reaction to that loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's about another thing.
Okay.
So she was on a podcast. I've never heard of this podcast. Fearn Cotton's Happy Place podcast.
Oh, sounds fun.
She's doing the rounds right now because she is she's hawking her memoir. And she wanted to talk, well, she was asked about how she dealt with her depression after her father died. So it is actually like incredibly common, right? After a loved one dies, to have some situational depression.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things she said, and this is why she's my D-bag, one of the things she said about it was, I tried therapy and it just didn't work for me. And then she goes on to say what she did to help herself get out of the depression.
We're getting close to like Goop territory, but what did she do?
Well, she went for walks. She tried to find the light in life, blah, blah, blah. My problem with this is, the therapy is not a bad thing. Therapy, there are people for whom therapy is a lifesaver.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And anything that discourages therapy in favor of, to your point, a little bit goopy, in favor of pulling yourself up by the bootstraps when you are in a depressive place, in a scary, dark place, is just irresponsible. And that's why she's my D-bag. There's a way to say, like, she didn't even need to put the therapy piece in there. There was a way to talk around this that didn't somehow throw therapy under the bus. And my point is that there is a stigma attached to therapy, and that didn't help it.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that, like, she said, if she is not aware of this, this is how it comes across. When you say something like, oh, therapy didn't work for me, I went on long walks, right, and I don't know what else she said. It didn't. I like being in control. When you're in an instance, when you're not in control, that was the only thing I knew. I tried therapy. It didn't work for me at that point. I didn't think medication was an option. I didn't want to be stuck, blah, blah, blah. Where does she get to the thing?
Well, like what she did?
Yeah.
Let's see. She said, I didn't repeat routines. I got out of my routines. I shook the world up. I slowly started meeting friends, responding to people who wanted to meet me. I would meet for a drink. Half an hour won't make a difference. She said, generally, it really started with stepping into the light instead of being comfortable in the darkness.
So can I just say, like, here's the thing that I think, this is a person speaking about something and calling it something that they're not familiar with, which is, this is not depression as a medical condition. I am not a doctor.
Right.
But what she's talking about is a feeling she had, probably grief. It sounds, yep, this sounds very, yeah, much like a grief, absolutely, process, which is totally normal and healthy and natural.
And has like a situational depression attached to it, which is not clinical depression.
But what I want to say is that, so that's a separate thing from depression. And when you, it's clear that she doesn't realize the distinction, or she's not being clear to make the distinction, because if you can go for a walk and feel better, if you can make yourself go talk to friends, if you can change up your routine, then you don't have clinical depression.
Right.
Because people who do have that clinical diagnosis don't have the ability to make those. It's not a choice. So, like again, a disease is not a choice. Like, right, you don't just get to choose whether or not your disease affects you. So when you say things like, because this is a this is where the stigma comes from. People say, oh, just snap out of it, or just go for a walk, or just, you know, make sure you stay in touch with people. Like, when you're suffering from a medical problem or a disease, mm-hmm. you don't have the choice.
Right.
Like, you might want to, but you can't, which is why it's a disease. And that's why you need a medical intervention. And that doesn't always have to be talk therapy.
Right.
It can, you know, there can be other medical interventions, but calling your doctor is the thing that you can do, mm-hmm. right, to get help. And right. that's the frustrating thing is that I don't think she has any awareness that she has just discouraged people from seeking help
exactly.
who might need it.
Right, because the message and the headline is, I tried therapy, it didn't work for me.
Yeah. Well, then you didn't need therapy.
Right, and people who... And also, if I can just say this, like, therapy is not like one thing. There are many different types of therapies. There are many different types of therapists. It sounds to me from the headline and from her very short thoughts, she went to a therapist and did not like it and then decided to make some changes. And to your point, if you actually have a clinical disease, you don't get to change your mind out of it.
Yeah, because if you can, then you didn't have the problem in the first place, which is totally normal. Again, going back to grief, it might just have been grief, or you know, she might just have had a day.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Again, it's like, it's not for people who actually have a medical diagnosis. You can't just go for a walk and that's going to
snap out of
things.
It. Yeah. And so the irresponsible piece of this and the reason why she's my D-bag is because the headline becomes, I tried therapy, it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to do the actual reading. But even in the reading,
they're gonna be like,
you don't
oh.
get to the nut of it.
And what you don't see is that there's a person who reads that and goes, oh, so I didn't do those other things mm-hmm. or I can't do those other things. So I'm a failure.
Right.
Which just
right.
perpetuates
or
not getting help even more.
Or like, I went for a walk and I didn't feel better. Or even,
so what's wrong with me?
I can't even get myself up to go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, a D-bag double down.
Oh, fun.
I'm looking at you, John Mayer. We'll tell you what made him a D-bag this time after this on My Talk 107.1. Well, before we get to our D-bag double down, we have a bit of breaking news that we wanted to share with you. We both got a notification in the last segment, I bet a lot of people did, on their phones, that Tiger Woods has been involved in a single car accident, and they did have to use the jaws of life to extract him from the car that he was traveling in. Hold on, I wanted to get to the statement that I was just looking at from the LA PD, and now I have too many tabs open, which is my favorite thing about myself.
Well, I can tell you that also in the breaking news, it does say that the vehicle suffered major damage, and his status at this point is unknown. So I can tell you if the photo that we've seen on social media is the actual photo involved. And sometimes you got to be careful with breaking news.
Yeah.
But if that is, in fact, the vehicle, it looks pretty, pretty intense for an accident.
So this comes from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And I do just really quickly want to mention that it is on a green background in yellow printing, which is the same color scheme as the Masters. Which I feel like was sort of maybe not their best choice. Anyway, on February 23rd, 2021, at approximately 7:12 a.m., Los Angeles Sheriff's Department responded to a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates and Rancho Palos Verdes. The vehicle was traveling northbound on Hawthorne Boulevard at Black Horse Road when it crashed. The vehicle sustained major damage. The driver and sole occupant was identified as PGA golfer Eldrick Tiger Woods. Mr. Woods was extricated from the wreck with the jaws of life by Los Angeles County firefighters and paramedics, then transported to a local hospital by ambulance for his injuries. The traffic investigation is being conducted by investigators from LASD Lomita Station. So that's what we know so far. about what is going on with Tiger Woods. He was in a single car accident rollover in Southern California. And we will keep our eye on the story as it develops. But we do know that he has been brought to the hospital to be treated for injuries. And that was at 7 something this morning. So that would have been 9 something our time. So it's been a few hours now.
Also, somebody pointed out in the replies, that's actually the sheriff's department colors.
Oh, that's funny. So, okay, well, good.
It was probably not an intentional choice.
Good. Well, either way, an odd coincidence, right? Well, I wanted to now take an awkward turn.
Do it.
To a little D-bag double down.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Who's so nice, we had to make it this segment twice.
John Mayer.
Oh.
Who's so not nice, we had to make this segment twice.
We haven't talked about him in a while. What's going on with Mr. Mayer?
So apparently he was a pop-up surprise co-host on Andy Cohen's Sirius XM show, Andy Cohen Live, on Monday. And they were talking about Britney Spears' court-ordered conservatorship. And John Mayer said the following. Now, what I want to say before I say this is all of the words sound good. And then we're going to have a deedle-dee-deedle-dee memory of John Mayer.
All right.
He said, quote, "To see the sadness in this human being, I almost mean the end. I mean, I was on the edge of tears 5 times. Because if you understand what this business / industry / lifestyle does to a person, to go through this and come out the other side okay is to have infinite grace for those who struggle with it." He says, "I came out okay. I have a feeling that part of that is because I'm a man. And I have a very strong feeling that a lot of these things happen to female performers is endemic to being female. So I watched it with such grace for someone who got much more maligned by the inhuman experience of fame than I did. And I go, why did I go through that? Why did I find my way through that obstacle course? What was afforded to me stylistically? The stylistic difference of being an outlaw. If you're a man, you're an outlaw. If you're a woman, you're kind of crazy. And when I watched that through that lens, my heart just ached the whole time."
If you're a woman, you're sexual napalm.
Thank you. Okay. If you really want to have... Oh, he is toxic. He is toxic. If you want a really interesting perspective on John Mayer, I highly recommend you read Jessica Simpson's autobiography, where she talks at great length about how completely toxic their relationship was. And as you just referenced, Bradley, he was the one who publicly said of Jessica Simpson, she is sexual napalm. She did not consent to his talking about their sex life in that way.
Yeah.
He just is such a gross human being.
Well, it's just like if you just have to know the room, right? Maybe this isn't your moment.
The problem with John Mayer is he doesn't know rooms at all, ever.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know who asked him this. Was
probably
this
Andy Cohen?
I just feel like, you know, sure, he had an answer, but like, I maybe would just like say, wow, that was a great documentary and I learned a lot and I have a lot to be grateful for. Thank you. Next question.
Yeah, but he talks too much because, like, for example,
well, he and Andy Cohen are like, you know,
2 peas in a pod.
Literally.
Yeah. So apparently he was asked about, like, does he, you know, want to have children someday or something. I don't know. I don't know how the question was phrased, but I'm going to read you the words he said. This is John Mayer talking to Andy Cohen as a co-host on his Sirius XM show. "I don't feel late to the party because I know I don't feel late to the party because I know only now is my tummy sore from all the frosting I've eaten off the cake of life. You just have to be done playing with your toy of me and my life and my thing. I've come to a point in my life where with this stuff, I'm not fatigued completely, but my hands are on my knees a little bit and I'm going okay."
I think he's talking about his penis.
What?
Like, he's used his penis a lot.
He says, "I definitely explored the life of what can be done for by me." Yeah, so I don't feel
he's talking about all of, like, his male privilege, his wiener.
So I don't feel late because I would never want to have a wife and kids while I was still investigating. What's out there for me to be explored by me? What?
Yeah, he's like, I'm aware that okay. I got to stick it wherever
I
wanted.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe he and Farrah Abraham could have a like, scintillating conversation?
Yes, or they went to the same language class.
Camp.
Yeah.
I actually...
They had that up north with, what's that language camp up north?
The Concordia language villages.
Yeah, they had...
Farrah Abraham.
Doublespeak.
Oh my gosh. Like, honestly, I honestly think somebody should put Farrah Abraham and John Mayer in a room and ask them to have a conversation.
Well, and increasingly more people.
Because I can't believe you just completely, playing with your toy of me. What? I don't know how you got that all...
Because I've listened to a lot of Farrah Abraham.
Okay, well, you figured that out. Anyway, I just...
The only reason I say that is because I just get the impression that he has... really been able to do almost everything. Like, and he does have an awareness of that, right?
Like, but he doesn't care. Like, he has an awareness of it, but he's still gonna swing it around. Like, I'm like, sit down, white man.
You can't really expect a unicorn to not
play with
marvel
their horn?
At its own horn, right? Like, it's always gonna be a unicorn. He's always gonna be who he is, and you can expect him to not be worse, but I don't know. I'm like, John Mayer, I feel like, is always going to be John Mayer. Because even if he were to realize some sort of awareness about his privilege, it's gonna come out sounding privileged.
You know? So gross.
Yes, he is a D-bag. Today, and probably tomorrow.
And forever. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, bing bong, what do you make Alexa do for you? We talked yesterday about getting recipes from her. What do you make your Alexa do? 651-641-1071. How do you use your Alexa? After this on My Talk 107.1.
Have you been waiting for just the right job? Then welcome to the end of your search. Amazon has seasonal warehouse jobs in your area, and now is a great time to apply. You can start getting paid right away and work close to home. Applying is easy. You don't even need an interview. So what are you waiting for? Come join the team and get a great seasonal job offer today. Visit amazon.com/hiring. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
How would you like to come home to a bartender who will fix you any cocktail you want?
I'll have an old fashioned.
I'll have a margarita.
Now you can, with the Bartesian Home Cocktail Maker. Bartesian is a sleek machine the size of a coffee maker that makes premium cocktails at the touch of a button. Choose from over 50 different cocktails, from classics to the most exotic premium cocktails served in the best bars today. You'll always get freshly mixed, perfectly balanced cocktails with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. And now get Bartesian's best Black Friday deal ever at bartesian.com/bartender. Entertaining? The Bartesian is ideal for parties. No need to stock all kinds of individual mixers for complicated recipes. Every guest gets the cocktail of their choice in seconds. The Bartesian makes a wonderful gift for anyone who loves a fine premium cocktail. Now get Bartesian's best Black Friday deal ever. It's available right now, only at bartesian.com/bartender. That's bartesian.com/bartender for Bartesian's best deal ever. Only at bartesian.com/bartender.